number of your membership is missing here tonight. It's good to be here and look forward to this message. This is a topic that I preached on several times before. It's a topic that I think is important for us to study and understand. Thank you for that. It should work, at least hopefully. All right, well, we have two different charts there, but I invite you to Acts 11, which is the text that I was given, not the text that I'd used when I preached on it before, but I actually liked it that the title was right here, Acts 11, verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And there you have the title, Repentance Unto Life. If you back up, you see that in Acts 9 was Saul's conversion, converted to Paul. And then we have Cornelius and Peter's vision, and Peter bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And I am thankful tonight that the Gentiles can be included in the covenant with God, and that repentance is also for us. It's not just the covenant with the Jews, but that God has opened it to us. Tonight, we have two charts, and one of these charts is living after the flesh, and the other chart is the process of repentance. And the question for us tonight is to consider, which one am I living in? And where is my life headed? Now, I don't know if, when you think of the cycle of sin, if that means a sinner. A week ago, I was traveling, and I met a man who told his life story, and his life story went something like this. He got married at a young age, and he didn't explain exactly how, but he got addicted to, it was the painkiller. I don't have the right term. Should have written it down, but the painkiller that is very addictive, and because of his addiction and pursuing that, he abandoned everything else in his life by way of his responsibility. He abandoned his young family. He still lived at home, but he ran around just chasing that addiction. And through that, of course, didn't provide for his family. And his wife had counselors telling her that she should just divorce him and marry somebody else. But she prayed for him and spent years praying for him. And in his journey, he did all sorts of things to get his fix. And one day, in desperation to get his fix, he took a knife and he chopped off his finger. He chopped it in half, cut it off, and that way he could go to the hospital to get his pain medication, right? Now, how many of you chopped your finger off? Did you ever do something desperate like that? You say, well, that's crazy. It's hard to imagine. And through all that, because of that, he faced children's services came. They didn't trust him with the family. There's just a lot of things that happened. But because of that, he entered a program, and in this program, he met Jesus. And as he met Jesus and came to terms with his own carnality and who he was in his flesh, he was delivered. And in his walk of repentance and deliverance from sin, he decided that he needed to give his life to help others. And today, he's the pastor of a church. If you want to look it up, you can look it up online. He's a pastor of a church, and he has quite a group of people that are following him. His son is actually the assistant pastor, and a congregation full of people who he's touching. Why? Because he went from this to this. How did that happen? I was just blessed to attend there. It wasn't my dream not to be in an Anabaptist church, but I was blessed to see that God is doing a work in that community. Now, I don't know whether... Actually, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. I don't know whether you feel like it's a sinner that's in this cycle or whether you feel like it's a saint. And I think I could be convinced either way. There's times in our life that we struggle with things and we have to decide which path we're going to be on. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He's speaking to Christians here. "Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it. Neither are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there are among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And he goes on to talk about their divisions that they were following, saying that I am following one man or another. And he says, this is not of God. And so many Christians do not grow or mature because they justify carnal Christianity. Now, is there such a thing as carnal Christianity? How long can we be here and be a Christian? Something for us to consider. Well, tonight, we're interested in crossing this off and headed over here. But first of all, let's talk about this cycle of sin. I can get it here in front of me, get the right one. Living after the flesh is restless living, and as we face temptation, sins of the flesh, the things that come in front of us, the things that we see or smell or hear, we're tempted. Maybe, or sins of the spirit, the attitudes of the heart. But whatever it is, it comes and it's an appeal to us. And as we think about these things, we feed ourselves with the glitter and the gloss, what makes it look good. And we focus on the pleasure of indulgence. And then we make a choice. And in this choice, we choose to pursue that sin. And as we move that direction, we commit the sin. And we receive the pleasure of sin. However, we reap death. And then as an attempt, and then because of the guilt that comes, we attempt to cover our sin. And then as we attempt to deal with it, we feel bad, and so we do penance and say, well, you know what? Because I feel bad, I'm going to do good things. The fig leaves of if you put life in a scales and I did bad, now I need to do good to weigh things out, right? And so we try to do some good. In our hearts, we say, I'm never going to do that again. That was a bad thing. We go back to restless living. And after a while, we're tempted again with that same old thing or maybe something just a little worse. And then we go and we just stay on this thing. And this is called the cycle of sin. And Christians can be here. You know, it's been 6 months since I just totally blew up and cursed my wife or hopefully not that bad, but whatever it might be. But if I'm on this circle somewhere, maybe I'm living in penance now, it seems good. But if I don't get off this path, this is an endless downward cycle, and the man that ended up cutting off his finger to get his fix, he was on that path. But Jesus came. Yes, John had the message of repentance, and I'm thankful for that. Well, over here we have something different. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself before we go too far. You can turn with me to Romans 6. Actually, let's go to Romans 7, and in a sense, it seems like it's behind. But Romans 7 talks about the struggle. Romans 7, 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me a manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So he's talking about the place of the law and how it helps us to identify sin. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And so the law helps us to identify that which is sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Here he talks about the struggle, and we'll read it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find that a law which I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law which is of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So we notice in 1 Corinthians in here that the carnal man lacks the power to overcome sin. The carnal man can't do it on his own strength. And we're caught in that cycle. When fed, the animal nature of man takes over. And it loses all sense of reason, rationality, and gives itself to sin. And I don't need to tell you, you know very well, at least I believe that you do, unless your experience has been different than mine, that living this way is miserable. That's what he says. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me? How can I be delivered from this body of death? And as a believer or as a sinner, it is a miserable state to be in, because the law, our conscience, tells us that there's something better and we're not living up. However, we know that Jesus' message was a message of repentance, and we had that John. We also have it in Matthew 4. I'll just read the verse from that time. Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind to reverse our thinking. I remember a pastor telling us that it's a 360-degree turnaround, you know, just absolutely. And he had a good heart, but most of us know mathematically it's a 180-degree turnaround. Repentance, to head from sin and to head to righteousness, to head from serving self to serving Jesus. And there is a complete difference. Now, repentance isn't something that we can... Yes, we have a will, and it's up to us what we do with our will. We're not like dollies or robots that get moved by other powers. No, we choose where we go. However, we don't have the strength to let that life behind and to live over here. It's only through the power of Jesus and as we allow him to do a work in our heart. But Jesus declared repentance as key to entering heaven's kingdom. If we don't repent, we can't take self and live good enough to live a life acceptable to God. Many want to declare their own righteousness. There was an elderly lady, as our neighbor, and she told us around a year ago that, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the world, but he didn't die for me. Well, she has since died, and she did tell us that she made things right with God and that she was ready to go see him, and I'm thankful for that. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. There is nobody that can make themselves good enough to take themselves out of defilement and make themselves acceptable to God. So what are the components of repentance? Well, I invite you to Matthew 5, and there's so many different places that we can go, and we will go to Matthew 5. I know I took you to Romans 6, 7, and 8, and we didn't even dive in there, but at least not very well. We looked at the wretched part. Matthew 5, I believe that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is teaching the people the process of repentance. Listen, blessed are the poor in spirit. Can we find help if we never realize that we have a problem? It's only when we realize that we're bankrupt that we can actually get help for our spiritual condition. Blessed are the poor. Have you been poor? Do you have a need? If you don't have a need, you're not going to seek help, right? Repentance begins with an awareness of our human depravity. It starts up here with conviction. Conviction. And we think about that thing that we did, and God knocks, Jesus knocks on our heart, and he says, son, I want you to think about the words and how you said that. I want you to think about where you let your eyes linger and the things that you looked at, and conviction sets in. I want you to think about the way that you talk to your children. I want you to think about, and I don't know what it is in your life, but conviction. Aware of our human depravity, blessed are the poor in spirit, to recognize that we have a problem, and that's the first step. Honesty to see our need. You know, we can do one thing or another with that conviction. We can say, well, I had a good reason. I was tired, and we can make all kind of excuses, and we can push that spirit of conviction away. But if we're going to walk the process of repentance, we're going to listen to that in honesty. And we're going to consider, why is the Spirit, why is Jesus speaking to me about my need? And we're going to be honest with who loyal really is, or put your own name in there. And we're going to respond in, well, if we follow down through here, blessed are they that mourn. As we think about our sin and our helplessness, there is a sorrow, a brokenness that accompanies this process. There is a humility. Blessed are the meek. That's verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To quietly open ourselves to the promptings and the teaching that God wants to do in our hearts. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Do you want to be changed? Do we want to be different? If so, we'll come to contrition, and contrition is a godly sorrow. This thing that happened, I'm sorry about that. God, forgive me. I want to do differently. And so we confess this thing. We take it to God. We take it to others who can help us find our way. We take it to Jesus and put it at the foot of the cross. And that's one of the keys, is to take our condition to Jesus and to believe in the work that he did, to turn our back on sin, to pursue a life of righteousness. And it's all here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 6, righteousness in Christ, freedom in Christ, and blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And it talks about our relationship with others. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And talks about just pursuing a life of righteousness. Repentance replaces the pursuit of sin with the pursuit of righteousness and holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To be declared righteous in finding our salvation in Christ. And you notice the promise that goes with that. Repentance prepares us to see God. And what a blessing this can be. Now, I don't know, as you consider this through the eyes of your spiritual man, where are you tonight spiritually? Do you want to stay on this road? Are you living in this, the temptation and the fantasy, and pursuing that? Or does this appeal that, you know what, when I really think about where I want to go with my life, and where I want to go with my future and in eternity, I realize that I have to walk this path. Where are we on this path? And I believe that Christians walk in this path. Living in repentance pursues a life of faith and obedience to the Lordship of Christ and a sensitivity to the Spirit. I invite you to Romans 6. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but are under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did you glean in this reading? Well, as a process of repentance, we're dead to this over here. Okay? If we're living over here, this is dead. Not to say that we're never tempted and drawn into this, but John says, 1 John, see, it's somewhere in my notes, down here somewhere. Says that if we are sons of God, we cannot sin. Thought I had the reference there, but I didn't write it down, getting a little ahead of myself. Anyway, we cannot sin. We can't live in this cycle and be okay with it if we're committed to following Jesus. I think it was a year ago, Fern and I had spent an evening together, and we ordered some pizza, and as we were waiting for that pizza to get ready, we traveled down a road, and we saw a skunk that had been hit laying on the road. And if you'd have cut that skunk open, there was meat in there. We could smell that skunk because it was rotting. And there were a number of turkey buzzards circling that thing that had been feasting on it. Do you think Fern and I were tempted to stop and partake of the skunk instead of waiting on the pizza? Think we were? How many of you have eaten roadkill already? Maybe hit a deer or something. We've eaten some already. After it laid there for 2 weeks in the hot sun and stinks, why not? Because we know the real nature of the quality of that meat, okay? We see the maggots, we smell the smell, and we know that the sin is ugly, but Satan covers it up with something pretty. Whenever we walk with God, we can understand the deception of sin and stay away from it, okay? That's what God does for us. He helps us to understand that. We see the lies. Are we able to see that in our spiritual eyes? Tonight, it's fair to say that with no exceptions, I hate rotting roadkill. Can I say with no exception that I hate sin? Okay? It's all in the same class. In fact, sin is worse than roadkill. There it is in my notes. 1 John 3:9, for whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He cannot sin. We can't live over there if we're actually a born-again Christian. Repentance. Well, if we do fall tonight, repentance is resilient. Pride gives up and says, if I failed, I'm too proud to admit it. I can't go for help. I'm just going to stay here, and we continue on this cycle. But repentance says, you know what? If I made a mistake, if I failed, if I sinned, we'll call sin sin, and we'll continue on the path to get back on track. Judas's sorrow was the sorrow of this world. Sorry that he got caught. Sorry his plan didn't work. But Peter cried, tears of honest repentance. There was hope for Peter, and in the end, there was no hope for Judas because he didn't have godly sorrow. Repentance loads our carnal human tendencies. We're born, we carry the fallen nature, but Jesus came to redeem us, and either will feed one or the other. Repentance also loads self-righteousness as empty rags. We're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. There is a whole system of religion that people put together that attempts to lift themselves up before God. We talked about that earlier. And I believe that's something that we as Mennonites can very easily fall in. We have to continue to live our life as surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and his lordship and in personal discipleship to him, and live a life of faith, walking with him in obedience. And it's easy for a church just to put together a group of rules and said, do these things and you can be ushered into the presence of God. And that's not even true. If we don't have faith in a personal walk with God and are praying and listening to what his voice is saying to us, just following a prescribed religion does nothing. Nothing for us. Sinners who do not repent will be judged. Saints who cease from repentance will fail, lose their salvation, and be judged. And we could go to Jude, where he talks about there are men that come in and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And it's a license to sin. Because you're saved, you can live how you want to. And we know that doctrine is all around us. But guess what happened to the angels who were holy? They fell. They lost their first estate. And judgment is prescribed to them. And so people who fall and do not come back to repentance are destined to the same destiny. And you can read, Jude talks about that. What about repentance unto life? Who are we obedient to? We read that in Romans 6. But you are servants unto Christ, servants unto righteousness. And even more than that, I invite you to Romans 8. It just gets better as we go from 6. And 7 is a bit of a backward step, and then Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him which raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we could keep reading. But, well, we could jump in again at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay any thing to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who even is at the right hand of God and also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tonight, if you are listening to and following the Spirit, then you have life. Where does the Spirit speak to us? It's right here in the Word, okay? As we read the Word is alive. But he also speaks to us as we live from day to day, the things that we do in evaluating. Take this next step. Go this direction. Minister to this brother. Living after the Spirit. Repentant living is vibrant, Spirit-filled living. John 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it says in the next verse, what is he talking about, rivers of living water? But this he spake of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet glorified. Repentant living is vibrant, Spirit-filled living. And if we listen and follow the Spirit, we'll never go back there. We don't go back there because we're living after the Spirit. And a full life is a result of walking after the Spirit. Repentant living puts on the Lord Jesus, Romans 13. But put ye on the Lord Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh. Live by the thought, what would Jesus do? Let that guide your choices in life. What does Jesus want me to do in this situation? What did he do when he lived on the earth? What does the Bible say that I should do? Repentant living puts on the Lord Jesus. Repentant living finds fulfillment serving Jesus' calling in ministry. 2 Corinthians 4. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So if we die to this and become alive to Jesus and allow his life to live itself out in our life, in ministry. Do you get the difference? Repentance unto life. What did Jesus say as he lived this type of sacrificial living, ministering, caring, teaching? Jesus, they wondered why Jesus didn't need food. And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There is fulfillment in living for God. You know, there's a lot of people that look at our lives and say, why would you live like that? I don't understand it. But then there's a few that have lived it and understand it and agree. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The repentant life is a full life. In the harness with God to accomplish the will of God. Tonight, what path are you on? If you're not where you want to be, reach out to a brother or sister and get on this path. It's well worth it. Well, there's a lot more that could be said. Hopefully this is enough to whet your appetite. Read Romans. Read Galatians. There's just so much that God has for us by way of instruction. And it's truly a life worth living, and living for Jesus.